Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We
cover
what mainstream means. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Chicken Hat Not Required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
There we go. We turn it off. We'll turn it off. Okay, Scotty, how you doing? Right, hold on, Scott. You're not up yet. What's going on here? Okay, Scott, we got you now. I think, Scott? Well,
Hello.
There you are. Okay.
There I am.
You're the host of the show, and it'd be nice if you... never mind. I know how you are. At least, you know what? Your bride is on time every time.
I was on time.
No. I was introducing you, and you weren't there. When I introduced Jean, she's always there.
Okay. Well, I'm glad for her.
Okay, we'll get some emails. We'll get through these. There are really no questions or anything. It's just, happy holidays and all that. But they took the time to write him, and I'll take the time to read them. I want to thank all of you for all you did for us this year. I learned so much this year from the show. I like that there is more people getting a chance to talk. The Facebook page is great with Teresa posting good information. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday and New Year. And that's Jerry from Lordstown. Yes,
well, thank
Jerry.
You, Jerry.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely.
Well, something's... Okay, I got it now. I had to configure this one. I stopped listening to the UAW show until my friend told me it was different. So I listened, and I haven't missed a show since. Thanks. Thank you for the change. Scott, you're a good host. And the new people on the show, well, they add so much. I always read what Teresa posted, so thank her too. Donnie, thanks for putting the show on. I know it costs you money, and you do it for us. Happy holidays and have a great time off. And that's from Jim in Arlington, Texas. Jim, thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And thank you for both people who wrote the emails in. And we do appreciate that very much.
Absolutely.
We on the show, we try to do the best that we can do to try to help our brothers and sisters. And if we can help educate people, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help. Like I said, I'm not a professional at this. I just try to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Right.
Never, talk shows are my thing. Records are mine. Okay, here's one from, it's a signed line worker in Kentucky. I would imagine Bowling Green, I think. Since Mary Leroy Bryan joined the show, it's been great. Oh, yes, I'm glad Jeff is back on the show, too. I've listened to this show for years. And this was the best year. Merry Christmas and have a wonderful new year. And that's from the line worker. Line worker, thank you very much. That was very kind of you.
Absolutely.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen. I want to wish all of you a happy holiday. As I listened to the show this year, I was proud of all of you. The show is better than the past years. All UAW members should thank each and every one of you. Teresa, thank you for all the information. You work hard. Donnie said the show is much better thanks to you. And he's right. When people told everyone the show was anti-union, you all didn't fight back. You were class. Well, some of us. The new year is around the corner, and I wish you all a wonderful year. We will get our union back with people like you. Looking forward to Monday morning. So there you go. There you go. That's it. That's it right there in a nutshell. We got four emails, and they were very nice. Thank you very much for listening this year. We won't be back until the 3rd of January. I think Scott said this afternoon.
Yeah, I believe it is the 3rd of January. Which would be Sunday.
Sunday, so I would imagine it would be on Sunday, Scott.
Yeah.
That's been on Sunday for 10 years.
Imagine that. I'm so glad you're having fun with that.
Well, you know,
I'm so glad. You
want to let people know that it's on Sunday.
Right.
We're coming back on Sunday.
Sunday, January 3rd.
There you go. And if we change the day, we'll tell you. Okay. I think Leroy's there. Let me see if I can get Leroy up. Oh, Leroy, are you there?
I am here, Donnie, and thank you for having me on the show again this evening. It's an honor to be here and try and serve the listeners as best we know how. I'd like to echo the comments from our email folks, Jerry from Lordstown and Jim from Arlington, Texas, and line worker from probably Bowling Green, Kentucky, and our weekly writer, looking forward to Monday morning. Thank you for all those accolades you gave us, and we wish you a very happy holiday season back at you and all of the listeners. So we'll probably close the show with some more like that, but Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa if you celebrate that, and any other holiday that you may be celebrating this particular holiday season. So thank you
Absolutely.
For everyone that takes the time to write in. You know. And on another note, Donnie and Scott and Teresa and Brian and Mary and Jeff Brown, any other people who have called in this new venue of the show and been a guest on the show, I want to thank each and every person personally, and especially for Donnie who puts this on and for Scott who's been his partner on this for 10 years and just allow me to come by and say a few words once in a while. So thank you so very much for everything you do. I know it's a lot of work putting the show on. It's a lot of work researching it, Scott and myself do, but thank you so very much for what you do.
And you and Scott do all the heavy lifting, and I appreciate that. And I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine that doesn't miss many shows at all. His name is Terry Tobias. He's my brother, and I worked with him many years, and one hell of a guy. And I want to wish him and his family. family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, you're here. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and Teresa, you if she's listening, I don't know if she's listening. She does a hell of a job on the Facebook site, and I appreciate that because I learn a lot from Teresa.
No, yeah, Teresa does post a lot of stuff for us. That's true, and a lot of information out there for people to read.
Absolutely. So you go ahead, Scott, and you and Leroy, take it away.
Thank you, Doc.
Well, thanks. There's a few things I think that, we've talked about. I mean, it's been an interesting year. It really has. I'm just going back, like, from March. We had a special bargaining convention in March. They rolled out the resolutions. Then we went forward to this year, kind of anticipating some things that could have happened and what might happen with the contracts coming up with the D3. And then, of course, with next year and Kohler. In the meantime, we've seen some other things going on other parts of the country with other unions and with the Teamsters and their pension struggles right now. It's been quite an eventful year, I think. It's
been interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody saw what happened during the contract negotiation. I don't think anybody had anticipated what happened. Everybody thought it was going to be a lot different. And now it's safe to say this isn't an opinion. This is something we can prove that the pattern bargaining that went through with the Detroit 3 actually carried over to next year into Kohler. So this is their new norm, and we don't have to accept that. And it's a travesty. I believe that the membership has been let down. That, again, is not my opinion. We can prove that. There's a lot of unhappy people out there. Couldn't tell it by the ratification votes. And in some other locations, they are still questioning those ratification votes.
Right.
But it's been a real interesting year. It truly has. With next year, I just can't believe that we went from a 97% no vote the first time to over 60% yes vote less than a week later. It was the same contract. No, it wasn't even the same contract. They extended the contract by a year. They took some co-pays off, gave you a little more upfront starting pay, and they stretched your payout over 5 years instead of four. It was the same economic package. It really was. They didn't change the part about the health care where it was the maximum that you could pay out. And Leroy talked about that a couple weeks ago, how that could affect somebody. Could effectively wind up with, trying to survive off $6,000 to $7,000 for the rest of the year after medical expenses and taxes. Which would be pretty taxing on anybody. There was the thing that happened on the Kohler now. Same thing happened on, was pushed onto them. That was a true snap count there. Like next year in Kohler, both the both the locals there were instructed by the international. They had a tentative to end the strike, get them back to work. And I think that the membership should have held out. This is just my opinion. That the membership should have held out and said, we're not going back until we see what the tentative agreement is. That's what we've done in the past, historically. You know, General Motors and the union likes to talk about past practice. Well, past practice was we didn't go back until we saw what the new contract was. And it was amazing. There was a COLA people. They'd been out for over 30 days. Said they had a tentative, brought them back to work. Next day, they did a rollout and then a vote. And it passed. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. These are the people that walked out on strike, not for 30 days. And then you didn't get what you wanted. That's bothersome. Tier 2 is still there. They did sweeten the pot a little bit. It's just the same thing they've been doing all over. And I've tried to find some a tentative agreement for Kohler. So if anybody's out there who's listening, I would love to see a tentative agreement that the Kohler brothers and sisters got. I would love to see a tentative agreement. I can almost imagine what it looks like. Just saying. So what we've been doing here since September, I can imagine basically what your health care looks like. I can almost probably tell you about what your pay scale very similar to between General Motors and the GMCH and the parts plant and the temporary language. I'm sure that they're real close to ours. I felt bad for our brothers and sisters in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. But we can talk more about that, but I'm just saying there's a lot going on, and we're not done yet, folks. We're not done. So what do you think, Leroy?
I had on mute, sorry.
That's okay.
You know, I think along the same lines as you, Scott, I think the contract that they eventually voted for was something that they really, by and large, the membership was not happy with. I'm not sure how the numbers changed so fast, just like you, especially with what's been reported out of their firsthand by a number of sources. So that's up to next year. And I want to say on this show last week, we made the case that if the listeners were to support the Kohler strikers, they could really send a message to corporate America and deal with the corporate America mindset in a real way. And through the Kohler strike, this was set up for absolute victory. Wouldn't have to come out of the coffers of the strike fund. People were lining up to send checks up there. We thank every one of you listeners that participated in attempting to make their lives better. They did give up a lot. They were out on strike a while, so it's my understanding that the checks that you sent and in good faith up there are now being distributed amongst those members equally. That's what I'm understanding. So that's something that's being done. And again, they did have some financial pain. So putting something back in their pockets, not all that bad to help make them whole. So we thank each and every one of the listeners who supported them in mindset and in the financial way that they could. And so thanks go out to them. I think that our show on Sunday set up a real fight with corporate America. And the IUAW, within 36 hours, had a tentative agreement. And within another 24 hours, had a rollout and a vote, and the people went back to work. I think, in my opinion, that the UAW backed away from a winnable fight. And I don't think that's fair to the membership, especially in today's day and age of wage suppression that's gone on. They did not make an economic case for these numbers commensurate to the productivity increases that they've given back to the company. And I find that deplorable, quite frankly, that they didn't try to do that. Even if they didn't get all of the money back, there was a lot more on the table that was able to be gotten. I don't care about the threats of going here and going there. Their biggest problem in corporate America in the United States is affordability, because people don't make enough money. John Kennedy said it a long time ago. The answer to all of our problems is more higher wage jobs, end quote. I repeat that. John Kennedy said, quote, the answer to all of our problems is more higher wage jobs, end quote. As first-tier industrial wages, and I'm not talking about tier one, tier two, I'm talking about industrial wages that lead the way for the middle class. As they go up, they raise all other boats. 47% of the country qualifies for welfare. The number one employer in the United States, Walmart, when you hire in, they give you forms and paperwork to file for welfare. These aren't lazy people, they're working. And corporations are taking advantage of our system by paying people pittance and having the government subsidize their labor costs. And that's just simply and essentially wrong. And we've done nothing to try and correct that.
Absolutely.
It's not just Walmart. It's not just Walmart. You know, it's a lot of these other companies that are doing it as well. I don't want to pick on just one of the worst, maybe the worst, but it's a lot of other companies, too, that are doing it. Small offices, you know, where the spouse works in a small office and they don't, the burden of their health care and other things is put upon the industrial worker in the family or the main worker. And that can go either way gender-wise. I'm not saying that it's just female. I know a number of males who work in offices where their spouse makes a lot more money. And as the primary breadwinner, the health care and all the other burdens are put upon the higher wage earner. So, but having said that, I do have a prepared report a little more in detail in some of that stuff that we just talked about. I should give the IUAW grade on their ability to get essential justice and remuneration through wages and benefits for the members commensurate with the productivity that they've increased for the corporations. And your ability to do that and your delivery on that is an abstract F, as in failure. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, having said that, I got a couple other things here that I want to address. Us retirees in Region 1D, that's most of northern Michigan, western Michigan, and Flint east over to Lake Huron, up in the Thumb area, and then down to 20, basically 20, if you're familiar with Michigan, U.S. 23 is pretty much the dividing line. Anything west of that, with the exception of the city of Ann Arbor, is now Region 1D. We got a retiree newsletter for Christmas here. There's a lot of retirees that have been out there looking for their $500 paycheck that they're supposed to have sent out last Tuesday, and I see on one of the Facebook pages that they're clamoring for that now. Where is it? If they send it on Tuesday, don't you think by Saturday it ought to be here? But we got this instead, so I thought I'd just parse this a little bit for the pleasure of the listeners. This is written by Gerald Kareem, the regional director of Region 1D, headquartered in Flint. And it does cover the city of Lansing, the capital of Lansing. So that's something you'll need to know in a minute. But just let me read part of this, and it starts off, but then I'm going to pick up mid-sentence here. I'm thankful that we have so many chapters, area councils, and such a powerful regional council providing structure for the UAW Retired Workers Program. These groups help maintain the UAW tradition of honoring those who have paved the way for all of us. Now, that came right from the regional director, and I must tell you that that's in part of what he said. But, you know, the other, it's not out of context here. It is what he said. It's not out of context. Now, let's just take a look at what they've done so good for us, at these retiring councils and everything. So since this person, this member, has retired, we've lost a $1,000 cola ketchup, also known as the Christmas bonus. We've lost the Medicare reimbursement by and through the inception of the VIVA. This was done away with. That's $1,260. There have had an increase in premium, deductibles, copays, prescriptions, etc. Varies by person, but it's around $1,000. And since I first wrote this retiree update, we've gotten back Dental and Vision. The COBRA cost was $600. And there's a lot of members that still pay the $600 COBRA just to make sure that they don't lose it, because they don't see very good end to this dental and vision if the VIVA does eliminate it again. And we got back legal services in this contract. And both of those, one's $600 and one's $200, so we've gotten back about $800. In total, this was over $4,000, $4,060, and now we're down. We've lost $3,260. In addition to the good work that the councils have done, by and through the contract, previous contract, the corporations were relieved from further obligation to fund the pension plan. That was a real good one there they did for us, relieved from their obligations. This contract, 2015 contract, validated in black letter print the Personal Protection Act 2006. It's in our contract now. Not just referred to so we know it's there, but it's in black letter print. And that's the one that you heard me talk so much about, where it falls under the funding for the pension, falls under 80%. They cut the payouts to 50%. And if it falls under, the funding falls under 60%, they reduce payouts by 100%. It's in the contract now. So even if this were to be repealed by a future Congress friendly to labor, it's still in our contract, and we'd be obliged to that language. I think that was not in any way good strategy. Okay, these members that work in the plants, in the offices around the nation, typically are a team with their spouse. And that spouse does a lot to support that team so that the member can go to work and be a good worker while they're there, man or woman. That team member, yes, they're very, very important. Now, certainly we got a $500 stipend in this agreement for retirees, as long as we're on the issue of retirees here. And that $500 stipend is, you know, appreciated by all. Some are just going to give it to charity. They don't need it. Others truly need it. And probably the most that need it are surviving spouses, who typically get half or 60%, depending on how they're set up, of what the vested portion of the member's pension would be. Now, that's not a lot of money. That's, you know, somewhere between $700 and $900 for most of these surviving spouses. So they really kind of need that money a lot. Unfortunately, this $500 stipend that was negotiated for retirees is not going to be afforded to the spouse who supported this member for 30-plus years in the plant or office. Not going to the surviving spouses. Now, again, I think that is a deplorable action. It's given the profit levels of these corporations to leave out team member of the team, family team, if you will, that allowed this person, member, our member, to go to work every day and be a productive worker. And you're seeing that more and more today with alternative work schedules. The spouse becomes ever more important, and this is the way we treat these spouses. It's just horrible. I really find that deplorable. So, moving on with the Region 1D and Michigan political arena. They're doing such a good job. We hear that from our illustrious Region 1 director. And I want to address how well they're doing regarding politics. A few years ago, about 9, I think, they did away with the executive director of the Michigan CAP department, headquartered in the city of Lansing at the AFL-CIO state building. They did away with that. So we lost that political influence about 10 years ago. And then when Region 1C and 1D were merged, that, remember, that now encompasses the capital of Michigan, Lansing. And when they were merged, the 1C CAP coordinator was reassigned, and the 1D CAP coordinator was headquartered in the Flint regional office. Now, the capital of Michigan is in Lansing, and since its inception, we've either had the CAP department. Now, for those of you not UAW, CAP means the Community Action Program that's outside politics, and we're supposed to interface with these people to get elected, try and get them elected, and then interface with them to keep them, you know, appraised of our positions on things that come up from time to time, and to let them see happy faces from time to time, making sure that they know we still exist. Well, the Region 1D director has not made himself available, CAP director, has not made himself available to the local politicians here in Lansing. As you know, I was on a committee, and I had the opportunity to address these committees. They're sort of running out there on their own, doing their own thing, these elected officials, and it's not lost on them that they do not have a CAP coordinator headquartered in Lansing, as has been since the late 60s in the inception of the CAP department. Now, in September 30th of this year, the AFL-CIO political coordinator, a man by the name of Tim Hughes, retired. Now, he was not replaced. So we've lost three physical presences in the state capitol that we're seeing regularly, if not daily, in the name of Tim Hughes, who made himself visible. Agreed, we have a Republican House, Senate, and governor here in Michigan. But Tim, they had to look at him every day in the eye so that they know that we, the membership and retirees, by and through our membership, are still out here. And he represented us very well, by the way. I know Tim personally. And he did a very good job of just making sure that they knew we were still here by looking them in the eye each and every day, the elected officials at the state, local, and county levels. Okay, so we've lost those three positions in the Capitol. Now, I'd like to see, at least in the case of the region that covers the city of Lansing, that there would be a much more visible CAP coordinator at the Capitol. I just don't see that. So I'm going to give them an F in that regard, too, this year. They haven't done well. So that you know, the Michigan AFL-CIO, for all the listeners, the UAW here in Michigan is more than 50% of the AFL-CIO in Michigan. That means that anything Dennis Williams or the president, whoever that person is, of the UAW says about Michigan politics by and through the Michigan AFL-CIO stands. Whatever decision that person makes the AFL-CIO, because the rest of the membership is in a minority. And there's been a number of decisions, notwithstanding right to work and the appointment of the election of a Democratic Party state chair that was over the objections of the 47% minority of the other AFL-CIO affiliates. They're not happy with the UAW, the other AFL-CIO affiliates, because of these. By the way, the Michigan Democratic chair wrote a letter that denied the ability of a local club to be chartered by the state party. 3 weeks after he wrote that letter, he resigned. Yours truly had a little something to do with that. I'm pleased that that occurred. And subsequent, his little pal in East Lansing, the mayor, he's lost his election. And yours truly had a little something to do with that as well. So we're doing the right thing here on this show. Moving on to the recap now a little bit through the year. I guess I kind of stuck in there the CAP department, how they're doing. Again, they got an F there too. The contracts and political policies just not doing so well. Neither one of them. Earlier in this year, this show, by and through myself and some support from other people, I authored three bargaining convention resolutions. One, to eliminate Tier 2, and we know that that was a big fight, and we really didn't win that, and because the resolution was to make them all Tier 1, everybody. The second one was no German-style works councils, and that just was ignored, and they slipped it into the bargaining book, approval book. And then we had the third one was no transfer of retiree pension to an annuity. And that was passed. That was passed by, you know, a number of local unions, Tonawanda not being the least of which was very supportive of that and got it into the book, and then it was passed. That meant that we didn't automatically lose the right of the government's Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, PBGC, which would the annuity would have caused us to automatically lose that. We still have that with the agreement we have, but again, it's pretty tentative with the winds on the water down in Congress right now. The people that are in charge have been on record saying they want that to be eliminated, that safety net for that, for us retired. And that was in March of this year. So we're happy that the one passed to protect retirees, and we got a little bit on the Tier 2 and nothing on the German-style works council. So that was something the show put out, and these were on the Facebook pages as well. And I think that did the membership and the listeners a good deed to try and do that. On a more personal note, in August of 15, I got some good news, the last part of something. I'll go back a couple of years and give you a little background on this. I had an acquaintance is the best word, that had been fired from the school system. That happened in July of 13, and I was called into a meeting by invitation on September of 13. Now, during that meeting, I made very clear to everybody in the meeting, the local union leadership and the attorney, that they make sure the superintendent of schools is appraised of the following, that she will be rehired, that she will be paid all of her lost time. And she was rehired in November of 14, and she was paid in December of 14 all the monies that she'd lost, several tens of thousands of dollars. And the other thing that I said was that they changed the law to prevent it from happening ever again. And I told everybody in the room to tell all of those involved those three things. On August of this year, 2015, the law had been changed so that this will never happen to another person ever again. So, again, the show and participants in the show who have supported me by and through my own efforts, which I appreciate all everyone's support, can claim victory on at least one person being rehired that was wrongfully discharged. And this was somebody that was a good person, not in any way a bad person, that had just been discharged because of the state's failure to do diligence and get their paperwork done before a deadline. They didn't make the deadline, and she had given them plenty of time. So, but having said that, again, she was rehired, paid all the money, and this year we can claim the law was changed to prevent it from ever happening again. Another good thing for 2015. With regard to the Detroit 3 contracts, you heard all that rhetoric here on this show, and we appreciate your support as listeners and gone through that. It was pretty detailed and sometimes a little obfuscated. And we tried to clarify as best we could. There's a couple of things that have come to mind that are of interest. That is, during the Chrysler contracts, comments were made here about Mopar and how they had been capped and their wages. And they were capped at $25. And so I made the argument here on the show, supported by all others, that this is the most profitable division. This is a parts division. Most profitable division divisions of the corporation, because selling a car is one price, but selling it part by part, you get about three times that amount of money. So it's not only the most profitable, but it's the most dangerous. Having looked it up, three most dangerous jobs tied at first are truck driver, postal worker, and warehouse worker. And you heard Brian Keller attest to his job being dangerous. And you heard me talk about a failure of a hydraulic line where my truck fell about 13 feet. Luckily, I was not cut in half. So behind that story that we said 2 weeks in a row on this show, General Motors SPO did not receive any such cap on their wages. And we're proud to take a little credit for that. I can imagine that that was changed after all the discussion on this show. During the contract discussions, Chrysler and General Motors, in particular, we talked about a bad attendance policy. We talked about a lot of things, but the bad attendance policy was also one of them. And we saw that Ford, the last one to be negotiated, had a much better attendance policy. In fact, it was noted on this show that pretty much GM and Chrysler would, FCA that is, would love to have that. So having said that, you can see the show made a difference in the areas of parts divisions and the attendance policy, at least. I think we had a little bit of movement in the temporaries as well, but that's yet to be seen. So we'll see. It's still sort of an open thing. Again, I want to go over that. The IUAW failed to make an economic argument for wages commensurate productivity increases by the members. And you already heard me say that. That's enough. I mean, you just didn't do a good job. I mean, these productivity increases, they're doing 10 years ago, they're doing at least the jobs, one person's doing the job of three people. And that's worth some. We didn't address the recalls. We didn't address the first-time quality. These are issues that could be addressed by the corporation, if prompted by the union, to fix the running of their company so they can actually pay us and raise all boats in our country. See, this isn't just about us in the UAW. It's about everybody in this country. If we get paid right, striations down through the economy, and the velocity of money increases so that we have a healthier economy. Being set with 47%, he said 40% of the country collecting welfare, it's just not a good thing. We still have an ongoing pension appeal, attempt to protect the pension plan participants by not allowing non-participants to vote on matters exclusive to the pension plan. Whether or not retirees can ever vote on, that's yet to be determined. But certainly the actives that are plan participants ought to be the only ones and have exclusive voting rights on that. I'm sure that if only the actives that had that were pension plan participants had the right to vote and not incentivized non-participants who were don't participate and they don't have a pension plan, they're not in the pension plan, that's regrettable, but they're not in it, and they were allowed to vote, and they were incentivized to vote yes on this agreement. Had that not been the case, and only pension plan participants, I submit that we would not have the language in this agreement allowing for the Pension Protection Act language to be put in black letter print in our agreement. So those pension appeals are ongoing. The ones that I believe have seen the light of day through the membership or been ignored by the membership will be moved forward to the next level. That's being done. This was an important step because that was a 7-day window to get those in. You have to get and protect yourself in all cases, you see. That 7-day window was very short, and we got a number of these appeals into the local unions timely. And by and large, they were voted down as not having merit at the local union, at the local level. And that's fine, because quite frankly, they don't have merit at the local level. They need to be addressed at the national, international level. So that's something that needs to be done. They are being moved up. And had we only written an Article 33 appeal challenging the decision to allow them to vote, then they probably would have come back and said, oh, sorry, that's under Article 38. That is dealt with under Article 38. And you missed your timeline on there, so we would have been out. So so that we're still timely, there are a number of Article 33s that are coming to the local unions, and this will take it on in the second arena. Again, we've protected ourselves under Article 38 because of the timeline, and there's 60 days from the ratification to file an Article 33 appeal, and that's been done. These are going to the local unions as we speak. So that's the update on the pension appeals so that we can have only participants vote on them and prohibit non-participants from voting on them. Remember, the law, ERISA, its objective is to protect participants in benefit plans. That's the law of the land. Also remember that the oath of office says that when you take it, that you will abide by, I'm paraphrasing, the laws of the land. So we'll see if we abide by the laws of the land and the decisions forthcoming out of the IUAW. So I have another bit. Oh, we have that. Covered that one. And one last thing. This is something that you're going to see in the beginning of the new year. It's going to be a big surprise for you, the listeners. I'd like you to pay special attention to the January 3rd show because I want to invite you back to listen again. This is pretty big stuff. You're going to really, really like this. It's a nice surprise, and I think you'll see a lot of value in that. you know, and again, you know, this show is about you, the listeners, and I want to, one last thing, and I hope you all indulge me because that's been a long report, but Monday morning, rather looking forward to Monday morning in his email to us, mentioned that this show has been talked about as being anti-union, and we're far from anti-union. We want to support the membership, who are really the union. Those people that are elected are supposed to represent them. So, but I want to just reread. I've read it a couple of times the last few weeks. I want to reread it one more time with a little different impetus. And I'm only going to read half of it, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. This is National Labor Relations Act, Section 7. And this is titled Rights of Employees. Okay? Employees. And, you know, let's just extend that to members because, you know, we might not be employees, but retirees have, because of all the stuff that's being addressed here, we have a vested interest in what's going on in these contracts lately because so much non-permissive bargaining has taken place. You know, we've lost all those things I just talked to you about, buying through contracts. So, Section 7, employees shall have the right to self-organize, to form, join, or assist labor organizations, to bargain collectively through representatives of their own choosing, and to engage in other concerted activities for the purpose of collective bargaining or other mutual aid or protection. Okay? Other mutual aid or protection. Sort of what we're doing here on this show. This is protected by Section 7, protected rights, protected activity. When we bring these issues to your attention, good or bad, this is protected union activity, brothers and sisters and listeners, if you're not a member of a union. And we, by the way, appreciate everybody here, all our UAW brothers and sisters, but also every union that's not a member, every member that's out there that's not a UAW local, but some other local like the operating engineers or the Teamsters or the iron workers, we appreciate all of you as well. And that's what we're talking about here, trying to, you know, do some things for mutual aid or protection, buying through education, good or bad, about what's going on in the union world. So, having said all of that, I don't think we're too much a non-union or anti-union or anti-UAW. We just don't feel you're doing such a good job, and we're going to start pointing it out. So, that's the end of my report. Anybody else have anything? I'm pleased to sit back and take any questions anybody might have.
All right, Scott.
Oh, I don't have any questions. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I do. And I think the word I'm looking for here is there is merit in what we're trying to do for our members. There's merit here. If you go back and look at the UAW.org, they have a bargaining 101 page that PR firm, the infamous PR firm that wanted to insult your intelligence that we paid for with our dues, they put this part up about bargaining 101. And there's a lot of things they talked about, the education and legal department and you're not alone and the support. And I read through that real quick earlier this afternoon, and there's something that was missing. Bargaining 101. This is for the IEB. Bargaining 101 is you put your members first. Period. That's Bargaining 101. You put your members first. Didn't do that. You can see that. That's very clear. That's not an opinion. Furthermore, I would say that I'm supported from, believe it or not, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, and Bloomberg. They understand it, too. There was particular person that I wanted to give a shout out to. Begin with the assistant director, UAW Region 4, Brad Dutcher. I'm going to read what brother, well, we're going to read what Mr. Dutcher wrote. Attention Region 4 members and retirees. What we witnessed in Kohler, Wisconsin over the last month is exactly what labor unions are all about. People sticking together in the betterment of everyone, the members in this local, fully understand what it means to leave no one behind, and I applaud the solidarity of Local 833. It was an honor to assist in this round of bargaining. I was able to witness firsthand the great membership, the great leadership, and outstanding community support, which all added up to a great result. In solidarity, Brad Dutcher, Assistant Director, UAW Region 4. Well, we started out good there, Brad, but you left the membership behind. And I think that you should be included. You wanted to come out and thank these people for what you think you did. What you did was you helped to suppress their wages. And I dare say their health care. And I dare say this is all stretched out over 4 years, and we know how the whole pattern goes with that. The other person I want to give a shout-out to is the president of Local 833, Tim Talu, and also the vice president, Jim Brock. And there's some other shop committee members there, but you all wanted to thank people for your bargaining skills. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters over there at Local 833, if that's what you consider bargaining skills, you had better go back to school and figure out how you need to bargain better for your membership. I found it was disturbing and lacking. And by the way, thanks for posting the tentative agreement so people could read that. We really appreciate that. That was nice of you. This is still weighing heavy on my heart. I'm not very supportive of what happened to our brothers and sisters at Kohler and, of course, up next year. There seems to be a pattern that is not consistent with what the tenets of our union were founded on, that are not being followed. It's a disturbing pattern, and I'm mad. I'm mad about this, and I'm very disappointed in our leadership. And I don't like to come out here at this time of year and be so negative about this, but our lives are at stake here, our livelihoods, our family's livelihoods. There's a lot at stake here, and you have intentionally put us in a bad place right now, financially. You've done that to us, and people need to understand that's where this is coming from. So I looked over some of this stuff. The people at Kohler were threatened with their jobs. There's just so much to hear and talk about, because if you go back in the mid-80s, people got hurt. It was a bloody battle at the Kohler UAW strike. And I don't know what happened from that point to now. It's, like I said, it's a disturbing pattern. They're not going to have, they've brought the lower tier workers up some, and then they have given a 4-year wage increase to the seniority workers, we'll call them, the Tier A workers. They've got one over 4 years. But this seems to be, from what I can understand, that the Kohler family thinks that this is a great agreement. So I'm glad that he got a good agreement out of it, because I'm sure that our brothers and sisters sure didn't. And it's disheartening when we get to this point that we have talks about what's being done to us instead of for us. So with that being said right now, I guess I'll just be quiet for a minute because I'd just end up saying something I probably would regret later.
Yeah, we all have to keep our tongues to ourselves a little bit, don't we, Scott? Because it does get a little bit frustrating and it does anger us here from time to time on the show, as it well does the members of the UAW and the members of other unions and those folks that are just not a member of a union, that are just out there trying to work for a living every day. You know, it's people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They just are. And we're not any different than the people out there feeling those same emotions. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. We try to hold our tongues to the degree that we need to, but I sometimes I get a little agitated and exercise myself here on the show. But it's something we really have to temper because of all the wrong and injustice that are being done to working men and women. It goes back to the Powell Memorandum, brothers and sisters. It goes back to the Powell Memorandum. This is written by Lewis Powell, August 23rd, 1971. And it's an attack on working men and women at all levels. I wrote a summary of this a couple of years ago and put it on the post. I posted it on, it's the workers' page, Workers, Workplace, and Unions. Basically, the Powell Memorandum in a summary here is intended to attack the working class, not talking about the middle class, just the working class, which is all of us, okay?
Right.
At the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of government at all levels, from township, city, county, state, and federal. They're after us, and they've been after us. You've seen judge appointment after judge appointment that are not favorable to labor. You've seen politicians as much bluster as you're hearing out of Donald Trump, he's on record as saying wages are too high. Okay? I mean, I was kind of liking a lot of what he had to say. You know, I didn't agree with any of the ethnic stuff that he's been doing, those comments. But some of the stuff on the economy, he's making a little sense, except wages are not too high, Donald. So, that's what I got to say about him. But you're seeing these elected officials out there. They're not friends of labor. Not at all. So I got to be on record saying that. You know, the executive branch, this man's running for the executive branch. Legislators passing right-to-work laws. These are not friendly to working men and women. They're just not. Here in Michigan, other states we've seen this. Wisconsin had a big battle. You know, this is, you know, I mean, they walked out of the Capitol. Wisconsin, I think they did the same thing. They couldn't even find them. They just went and hid somewhere, so they couldn't have a vote. They had a certain number they have to have for a quorum. Texas, I did that same thing. So we have some, you know, pushback from some of our friends, but there's a lot more that seem to hate us. The Powell Memorandum also talks about how they're going to take us on in the news media, the radio, TV, print media. They're going to take us on in the campuses and take us on at the pulpit. And we're seeing all of that being done to the working class. Been done now for 44 years, and it's time that gets changed. Simply time that stops and the boat starts to turn around in mid-ocean and head back where it needs to be so that we all get paid and have remuneration, health care, etc., and a good way, not the pittance that they're paying at all levels. I mean, 47% of the country qualifies for welfare.
Amazing.
We know that. Yeah, we know that 30% of the people here in the mid-Michigan area are below the poverty line. A poverty line in the Midwest section of the United States is $11,700. We're negotiating contracts where the lowest person would take on half, $6,500, half of the poverty level. After, if this person, the lowest contract, and I'm talking about next year, you heard me say it last week, okay, $24,000 for a $12 an hour job. That's assuming no overtime, okay?
Right.
And then that takes you down, put some taxes on there to $20,000, take about 20% for taxes, $20,000. Then you got $13,500 for health care. That's your maximum copay. $13,700, I'm sorry. The first agreement was $500. They moved it up to $700. $13,700. They're left with $6,300. Going to work every day, trying to live on $6,300 because they're paying such enormous health care. That's the lowest person on that totem pole. And notwithstanding that there's some language out there about bargaining 101, you know, let's take a look, first of all, at what's available for the pie to be filled with and how big that pie should be, okay, and how much money others are taking out of the pie that ought to be ours. You know, clawback language
right.
in the agreements would be great, okay, but you bargain not only based on what's available, but you bargain for the lowest common denominator. You have to think about what you're doing when you're at that bargaining table. What have you done
right.
to the lowest person on the ladder? And in this case, at next year, the bargainers not only failed, they really need to be taken out somewhere and taught a lesson. Because they have bargained
yeah.
a position for the lowest person to be making half of the poverty level. Half. That's what they have to live on after all of the stuff that they negotiated for them. All these great things we keep hearing about in letters from the regional directors. And this is in his region, by the way. That's Gerald Cream. That's his region. He was up there telling everybody how good an agreement this is. But just know that's his mindset. He thinks it's a good agreement for somebody on the lowest portion of that agreement to make $6,500 net, half of the poverty line. That's Gerald Kareem, regional director of Region 1D, thinks that's a good contract. Okay, so, and his assistant was up there touting that as well. Same thing out of him. So, I got to tell you, folks, we got a long way to go. Now, it's the Christmas season, and I don't want to be negative like Scott said. I don't want to be too negative. We have a lot of positive things that we got done this year. You heard me. We got the pensions protected from going to an annuity. Okay, that was a big deal. Okay, so notwithstanding the bad language they put in this agreement, not having the guarantees of the government is a big deal if we'd have lost that. So we were successful in that. You know, we were successful with GMSPO not having the caps that Mopar put upon them. I think, you know, those that negotiated, that listened to this show, that's a good thing. We appreciate that. Okay? Those that were sane at the bargaining convention and passed that resolution, that's a good thing. We appreciate that. You know, the attendance policy at Ford is better than the other two. We appreciate that. But they've also discussed on this show and changed. Because they said all of them are going to be the same, pattern bargaining. We saw so subtle changes. This show is making a difference. Okay? And maybe next time they'll negotiate something for retirees, and they'll include the spouses because this was something that needed to be done. We'll see what they do next time around. We'll see. But the show is doing a lot of good things. It's educating you, the listeners, union, non-union, whether UAW or other union or non-union, again. So having said all of that, you know, I don't want to get too windy on this show because I know that's been a charge of a lot of the folks listening. But I agree with Scott on this. I mean, we don't want to get too negative, but some of the stuff that's gone on is just deplorable. And we really got to hold our tongue sometimes when we're talking about it. And, you know, sometimes you hear us get a little exercised about the wrong that's being done. Well, that's you know, just what's happening. This isn't something we manufactured. Listen, we exist. We exist because of what's being done. You know, I'd be happy to be out fishing or boating or snowmobiling, whatever I'm capable of doing, and not having to worry about any of this stuff. But it's wrong what's going on, and they brought this to the attention of me and others, and we're here to educate everybody that wants to listen to us. So, having said that, I don't know, is there any other callers or questions, Donnie?
No, but we have 37 in the chat room, or not chat room, but switchboard. If you'd like to make a comment or say anything, press 1 on your keypad, and the boys would be glad to answer if they can. If they can't, they'll get the answer for you.
Okay, man. Yeah, sure. We'll get an answer for you.
Absolutely.
I know it.
Absolutely.
This is bad. For a show, it's you know, it's Christmas time, and I understand. We're a little light tonight. We usually have 50 in there by now, but
it's Christmas. It's the sun.
Anybody would like to join in, press 1.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from somebody.
If we don't have anybody coming on. You know, I mean, I don't want to stop anybody, but I just want to say, folks, I mean, do we have anybody coming on, Donnie? Is anybody coming
no.
in asking a question?
No.
Okay. Well, let me just, I think we talked this to death tonight, so I'll just start saying my ending here, I guess, I think it's important to tell everybody on that's listening, if you found value in this show or other shows, if you find use and value to help yourself or others get questions answered, please tell just one person, just one, and it will help just that many more if you just do that. We know you're doing the job of telling just one, but we'll ask you one time again. This week, just go out and tell one more person about this show so they too can understand what's going on in the world of labor, and we do discuss other things. I talked last week about the man that died in a manure pond out in California. His name is Randy Vasquez, and they're having a big drive and a petition. If you Google him, Randy Vasquez died in a manure pond. They're having a big drive to try and correct all of the dynamics that caused his death. So
right.
And that's what they're after. But we support those people in their efforts. So if you see that petition, or just take a second and do that. So, but if you've, again, if you've seen any value to this, use or value, please tell one person. That would be so much better for this country. Having said that, I'll give my shouts out. I want to give a shout out to Lordstown. We had a brother there, I think, what's his name, that called in tonight. And Jerry from Lordstown.
Jim or Jerry? Jerry.
Jerry called tonight. Jim's called before, written before, I guess, and didn't call. But Jerry from Lordstown. You know, Lordstown, I grew up in Youngstown, so I came up here in the late 60s after I graduated high school there. I played a little football. Of course, that's football country. Then I hired him at General Motors. Shout out to the Pioneer Hall of the UAW. That's now a head shop. Thank you, International UAW, for allowing that to occur. all the other locals over there in the Flint area. I used to be a member of 598 for a while, and then the locals here in Lansing. I'm a member at 652 and a member at 1753. And then I want to shout out to all 63 local unions in the old Region 1C that I serviced as a CAP coordinator for a brief time. Enough to do the job for a while and be very successful at it. So, and those locals are IPS, Independence Parts Suppliers, TOPS, Technical Office and Professional Services, and the Industrial Division, where you find the Detroit 3 and other large companies, Caterpillar and the Ag Implement Groups. So, but we didn't have any of those in my area at the time. So shout out to all of them. Shout out to everybody here in Michigan, whether you know UAW brother and sister or other union or just non-member that you're interested in this. All the other areas, the Midwest and around the country that are listening, we appreciate it. You know, shout out to Kansas City, Chicago, Louisville, Indianapolis. We'll throw Detroit in there, Cleveland, Lorain, Ohio. Of course, we hit Youngstown, Lordstown there. We got Tonawanda out there listening to us. We know they're there. Thank you all for all your support up there in Tonawanda, New York. Shout out to Sister Roberta out there. And, what else we got? We got down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We got some new ones there, the skilled trades. Shout out to the skilled trades, brothers and sisters, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Of course, we got Atlanta, Georgia, and Doraville, Georgia down there. And we can't forget the break room in Arlington, Texas. We had another caller. Line worker from Arlington. This is Jim from Arlington. And line worker from Kentucky. And, of course, our favorite shout out to Looking Forward to Monday Morning. He's a weekly writer and very supportive of this show. So we thank you and shout out to you too, brother. So close out, I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and any other holiday celebration you might be having this season. So I don't want to forget anybody. Those seem to be the three big ones of this season. Some people don't celebrate. Shout out to you if that's your preference. So have a wonderful holiday season, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget our Canadian auto workers. This is up there north of the border.
Yeah.
We've had some of them write in and to the show. Like I said, Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever, like they always said, your preferences. But and we're definitely wishing everybody a Happy New Year because we'll be in the new year when we come back on January 3rd.
Absolutely.
And we'll have some more stuff to talk about, that's for sure. But we just need to all stick together right now and help watch out for our brothers and our sisters right now. A lot of things going on, and there's a lot of things are going to be happening yet, so you need to pay attention.
Right, and let's not forget
our research department that they'll probably be back next week from the little respite and just taking a little break from everything, So our favorite research assistant there. And we had a couple of other people throw in some stuff, but we have our favorite. And I believe we're looking forward to that person not having to be on break here. So she's a wonderful person. I don't want to say her name right now. But also, you went north of the border. I'm going to go south of the border, Scott, real quick and say, shout out to our friends down in Mexico. I know there's some of you listening to this show. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear the conditions and all of the things that are going on. If you can tell us if you're working for any one of the plants down there. We know Kia's got presence there, Volkswagen, General Motors, Ford, and I believe Chrysler has some presence there, a little bit of one plant. So if you're working at one of those plants down in Mexico, You know, and don't be afraid to send something to us that's in Spanish, because we will get it translated, okay, so we can read it. So if you're having an issue like that, just send it anyhow. Write it in Spanish, and we'll get it translated. I don't speak Spanish. I do speak German to the point that I get in a little trouble, but I don't speak Spanish more than just the colloquial words. You get it to us, and we'll get it translated. You know, I got a lot of friends in the Hispanic community around here, so they'll be happy to do that for us if we can't just get it done on the computer. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So south and north of the American border, we have friends there, and we'd love to hear from you. So that's all I got to say.
All right. How about you, Scott? You done?
Well, I guess, kind of.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, we didn't forget something here. It's like I said, it's been a long stretch. We did a lot of shows there.
Yes, we did.
And in a couple of months, we did a lot of shows. And I guess what we're saying is to kind of pair it with Brother Leroy talks about, you know, we're trying to make a difference with the show, but it's you. It's the membership that's helping make the difference here. And without your support, you know, we can't do that. And we're more than happy to try to help out in any way we can. So, coming forward to this new year, if there's something that's particularly got your interest, by all means, please share that with us. And we'll do the best we can to get an answer for you or have some dialogue around that. That's about all I got really going tonight.
All right. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and I hope a Happy New Year. And don't forget what Christmas is all about. It's not just about presents, and it's about family. So be with your family. I hope you have family to be with, and I hope you enjoy and be safe. There's a lot of things happening in the mall parking lots in the past few weeks. So keep your head on a swivel when you're walking through the parking lot so you don't run into one of the bad boys. And, go ahead.
I got something out.
I always thought
please,
you would.
Brothers and sisters, I know it's like a public service announcement here, but please, brothers and sisters, don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive. It doesn't make for a good time of the year when people get hurt or unfortunately killed. Be responsible if you're going to partake. Please be responsible. I did forget to thank my wife and her support for letting us do this show and the time it takes away from the family. And I do want to give a special shout out to all of our service people.
Oh, absolutely.
They do tend to get forgotten on the holidays, and that's not our intention here on this show. I'm sure I can speak for all of us when we wish all of our military people, active and retired, when we wish them a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we thank you for your service and the things that you do so that we can sleep better at night. We do appreciate our armed services.
We sure do. So everybody, until January 3rd, be safe and have a Merry Christmas. Good night.
Good night, everybody.